That's a big shout out, man. Ken Jones talking about it. I'm fly, but I can't be my flies without you. That's a shout out to his wife, man. I played that for my wonderful lady, the first lady of this crib here. That's Miss V, man. That I'm fly, but I can't be my flies without her by my side, man. And I'm sure Big Drake feels the same way about E-Buggy.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. We was talking when we was hanging out with the Humidor when I got a chance to come in town, man. We was talking about that. You know, you hear other cats, man, and they, I got to go home to my wife. Bro, I love being married. Now, that doesn't mean we have great days. There's some days I don't like her, and there's some days she don't like me. But I love her. I love being married. I love the life we're building. I love the life we have. And I know that everything God has in store for me, every blessing and every anointing on my life, is attached to that woman right there. So
yeah.
I'm excited, man, about being with my wife. And so I know I can be my flies without – I can't be my flies without her by my side. And my wife pretty fly, too. So it helps that you marry good. So, fellas, marry something that you like looking at. I'm just saying. It ain't just about physical, but it need to have something to do with it. All right, man. So today, as we was out before the show – I text Big Drake and I was waiting to hear back from him. And as I was waiting, I was watching my Dallas Cowboys as we were marching on to put the finishing touches on the Detroit Lions. So I thought. And then we gave the ball back to him with a minute or something left. Very reminiscent of the Patriots and was it the Patriots last week and y'all or I mean week four last?
Yeah, the Patriots.
And I'll be doggone if Matthew Stafford and Megatron did the same thing to us. Well, first of all, Megatron had a Megatron-type day anyway against us. Big J, did you see the game?
I saw a few plays. You know, I had company over here.
I saw,
but from what I saw, every time I looked up, it did look like Calvin Johnson was catching a football.
Yeah, no, I don't, Big Drake. I don't think you understand when I said Calvin Johnson had to make a day. So if what would you categorize for even for Megatron to be a very good day for Megatron on a Sunday?
Well, looking at what I saw, I mean, he was catching. I mean, literally every time I looked up, he was catching the ball. So I'm gonna go out on a limb.
Okay.
And I could be overthinking. I could be wrong, but I'm gonna say he had 15 catches for 200 yards.
All right, I'm trying. Oh, so I went and got another tablet so that I could make sure to pull the games and everything up, and the tablet I went and got is not working. So I'm trying to give you the number of catches because I'm not 100% aware of the number of catches that he had, but I am well aware of the number of yards he had. I think 15 or so is about right, but the yardage, he ended up with 359 yards receiving. This is on the heels of Dez Bryant saying that he can do everything Megatron can do. Obviously, he meant on Madden. I think that's what he meant is in Madden on the game, he can do everything Megatron can do because he was not talking about in the actual game because, you know, he had seven, eight catches for 72 yards, and Megatron had 15 to 16 for 359 yards. So it wasn't even close. Matthew Stafford threw for 488 yards against us, including the game-ridden drive. And this is crazy. You know, I'm not a big Matthew Stafford fan. I think he's made of paper mache, and if you breathe on him right, he'll break. But Matthew Stafford did something that was very impressive. So they drove down, like I said, less than a minute to go. They drove down the entire length of the field, starting from about the 30-yard line, hit two or three big passes. in out of bounds, got down, threw it to Megatron. Megatron dove, got the ball to the 1 yard line with there's 19 seconds, clock ticking. Matthew Stafford's rushing his men to the line, and he's motioning so he to spike the ball so they get one last play. His whole team is rushing so they can get all in set so they can spike the ball. Matthew Stafford takes the snap for under the center and lunges over top of the center's head into the end zone.
Wow.
And so they think they're replaying that, saying obviously there was something in his cadence to tell everybody he's motioning that he's going to spike it, but really he's going to take this quarterback sneak or push or whatever. But when they replayed it and slowed it down, his offensive lineman did not move as if he was going or they knew he was going to try to go in the end zone.
Yeah.
His running backs, his wide receivers did not move as if they knew. The only person that appeared to know that he was going for the end zone was the center. And so, to me, it was absolutely I hated it because it was my Cowboys. They got their heart snatched out. But Matthew Stafford, man, he gets my, as they say, okay, or whatever, the wrap-up show, he gets my helmet my helmet decal of the week for that call right there. Even though I knew they was going to score, but to see him come straight on and dive into the end zone with the ball was just very heart-wrenching. It is what it is.
how did Tony play?
How did who?
Tony.
Tony played okay. It was the defense. Tony played okay, but Tony was still Tony. He made some very good throws. Dez Bryant made some great catches. But I don't know. The defense, that drive, Detroit, it was effortless. I mean, Detroit just drove the ball. I mean, it was effortless. It wasn't even, spectacular plays. It was effortless. I mean, it was like they were not playing against anybody else to drive the ball down for that last drive.
Yeah.
So, Tony had a decent game. I think Tony ended up 13-29, right at 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, somewhere right around in there. Like I said, decent game, but, the defense – in the end, they just didn't buckle up, man. And the Cowboys, even up to this point, I think we have really been trying to outscore people. The defense has only played average at best. Unlike your Saints, whose defense has been playing kind of lights out. They've been playing a defense we have not come to expect from the Saints.
Yeah, I think average, we're giving up 17 points a game.
Yeah.
That's pretty doggone spectacular.
For the Saints. I mean, again, because y'all ain't known for defense. Y'all have really struggled. And so I wanted to ask you, do you think Wild Eye Rob has something to do with that? Or is he the main catalyst for how you think the defense has played up to this point?
I think it is the head coach mostly. Even though the head coach mostly focuses on offense, I just think the order, I'm trying to get the correct word, but if you don't do what you're supposed to do, we're gonna put somebody in there at will. You're just not gonna play because of who you think you are. I think that does help out, and I do think sometimes newness helps a defense get out of a rut, or anybody, or anything get out of a rut when you were so bad. You know, we were so bad at doing this. Why not try something new? And that's what Ryan has brought in the new 3-4 defense. So, and I'm assuming that the style players that we have fit that style of defense very well.
Yeah. So maybe they were round pegs and square holes already.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. So. I'm happy. The year that the Saints won the championship, the defense was okay. The one thing that the defense did that year is we were able to turn the ball over a lot. We got a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, you're right.
But essentially, won us the Super Bowl was a turnover that we caused. This year, the turnovers are not there as much, but the solid defense is there. if our defense can continue to hold the opponents to 17 points,
yeah, y'all should be in pretty good position.
We gonna be all right. We gonna be all right.
I definitely agree with that, man. So the Saints are balling. Y'all knocked off the Bills today. So I assume, did you get a chance to watch this game?
No, on CBS.
Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rub that in.
And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm going to have to call this thing.
You got to do something.
And just say, hey, DirecTV, what's up?
That's not working. Yeah, it's not working for me. Y'all got to give me something. If I'm going to miss it, you're going to give me something.
Yeah.
And so y'all knocked off with Thaddeus Lewis and the Bills. The Bills really struggling, man, for a quarterback.
What's up with EJ?
I think EJ knee still. I don't think EJ knee ever healed properly. I think he came back a little. He came back a little too early. So I don't know. I don't know the prognosis of how long EJ is out. To correction, Calvin Johnson had 14 catches for 329 yards and a touchdown. Nonetheless, in beast mode, he destroyed us. He pulled a Mike Evans on us. Nobody on the team could actually guard him.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
Mike Vick tried to give it a run today and got pulled. Mike Vick got pulled.
Time is done, man.
Yeah. I don't think he was 100%. All right, so he came back too early. They pulled him in favor of Matt Barkley. And Matt Barkley didn't come in and do that much better, but Mike just did not look. I mean, I've seen some clips already, and Mike was moving around like he should be in a walker. Yeah, so I just don't think he was healthy. I think he just trying to come back and show the bravado while the other quarterback was out. He was trying to come back and solidify his job, rally the troops as they got behind him, and he tried to, will them to victory, but that it didn't happen.
Let me pose this question to you. Ever since Mike Vick has been released from incarceration.
Yes.
And he's been with the Eagles ever since he's gotten back into the NFL, correct?
Right.
Can you tell me any year that he wasn't hurt?
No. The year when Donovan McNabb got hurt and he filled in.
Yes, that was it.
That was it. Last year.
And then, I just think Philadelphia did Donovan so wrong. Because, it was Donovan's idea to give Mike Vick a chance to, hey, he's a good guy. They're talking to him. We need to give him an opportunity because nobody else will. Let's be the one to forgive and all this and that. And then, he goes down. Mike Vick does come in and play pretty well. And then the next year, they're like, my D-Nab.
Oh, by the way, we're going to cut you.
So, that was a remarkable idea, getting Mike Vick back. He would really appreciate you. So, we'll holler.
It was so great, we're going to let you go.
But ever since then, this is my theory on Mike Vick. I think he's extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he wouldn't have had the hiccup for going to jail, we may have been able to witness something very special. But I have an employee that I'm over. That I'm over. They're under me. And good guy, good person, but it's always something. And it just makes me sick. I'm like, we need to get this dude back in control.
Yes.
Same thing with Mike. It's just always something. Good dude. Means to do well, I guess, but it's just always something, and I'm getting sick of it. Well, if I was a Philly fan, I would be very frustrated right now.
Big Drake, I lend it back to your synopsis at when we started talking, and we took a side note about Matt Ryan. How much of it is after Mike Vick got that his second, third big contract?
Did he get a big contract last year?
Oh yeah, he back over $100 million.
Oh, Lord. There you go. I didn't know that.
Mike Vick got another $100 million at the beginning of last season.
That's it. Now we know what the problem is.
looks like your theory is proven true yet again.
And these GMs and owners or whatever they are, I mean, if they just get somebody that they think might be happy. They're going to go ahead and cut them a check with a whole bunch of zeros.
That's right, brother. I wish I could get it, but fool somebody to think I'm half decent. Cut me a check.
Yeah, yeah.
I still wish Tony Romo and Jerry Jones would fall down an elevator shaft hugging each other together. So I don't want them to die. I just want them incapacitated so that neither one of them could make any decisions on their own. All right, so did you get a chance to watch the highlights here today? I got a chance to see Terrell Pryor's record-breaking run. Did you get to witness Terrell Pryor's run?
I did, and, man, it was great to see him and I told you at the beginning of the year, looking at him at preseason, I thought he was going to do pretty well.
Yep.
He was a better quarterback than what I thought he was.
He definitely is.
But just on that play, how the entire Steelers defense, I mean, the entire defense just looked foolish.
I didn't think he was running against anybody. The Steelers defense on the field? I thought it was a timeout. I didn't know. I thought they caught him coming off a timeout, and the team had time to get on the field. Because that was, I mean, they looked ridiculous, dog.
They looked ridiculous. Mo, how he was a good 10 yards down the field with the ball.
Yes.
If we said he was still trying to come up and hit the running back. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, the Steelers, it was bad, man.
And I think, unfortunately, Mike Tomlin's going to pay for it with his job.
It did look good. And I hate to see that because, I mean, he led them to 2 Super Bowls.
Yep.
One day one.
Yep.
I don't think he needs to get fired this year.
Yep. Is that how you can not think it all you want to. I hope for his sake, you is writing his check. Not that thing. The people writing his check, Mike Tomlin gone. and only because I don't know how he, in their head, it makes sense to me. All right, I don't think they have spent any money revitalizing or replenishing their talent. All right, it's the same issue I've had with the Saints in their defense. That Super Bowl year, your defense was old, but they came up with, they made big plays.
Yeah.
But they were old. And after that, there was no money spent replenishing the defense.
Yeah.
You can't continue because you strike lightning in a bottle one year with a group of old guys thinking old guys can still bring you through.
Yeah.
And that's what Mike Tomlin's defense, that's the defense he's continuing to have. And even the old guys that they had that were still playing, like James Harrison, they let mm-hmm. them guys go.
Yeah.
And then you let cats like Mike Wallace, your young talent, you let him go.
Yeah.
What have they done to replenish his talent? To me, it just seems as if they lose pieces and they just keep playing. I'm sorry.
They were also at San Antonio Home.
Exactly.
A couple years ago, yeah.
If you lose your foot, you can't just keep running the marathon. You're missing your
prosthetic
foot.
Or something. Yeah, I'm going to get something.
You got to get some. Even if it's a prosthetic, you got to put some on. So,
yeah.
I mean, and to me, they've just tried to continue. They could try to continue business as usual without personnel as usual. And that don't equate to wins. And I think that's evident in what you're seeing on the field. So I agree. I don't think he deserves to lose his job, but I think he gone. I think he gone. Now, Terrell Pryor had the wonderful, phenomenal run. Other than that, Terrell Pryor sucked today, though. He was 10 for 19 for 88 yards passing with 2 picks. But nonetheless, it still was enough to beat the Steelers. So that tells you something there. Yeah. I tell you who did ball out.
Ball out.
That was Andy Dalton for the Bengals. I don't know. I'm pretty sure nobody has him as a fantasy starter in any of the leagues we play in. but Andy Dalton, he went for 325 yards with 5 TD passes today.
Wow, he's my backup.
He's your backup. So you got 40 points sitting on the bench. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't you hate that though when you flip up when you open the screen and you look and you see, especially when you see you took an L And then you went on your bench and you see you had 130 points on the bench. Good. Marvin Jones, I don't even know who Marvin Jones is, but he caught four of those touchdown passes, man. A.J. Green had 115 yards receiving today, too. And so I was wondering, and I was going to look real quick. Okay, so Jason Campbell got his first start today of this season. But unfortunately, he started against the Kansas City Chiefs. And not least to say, Kansas City Chiefs are still undefeated. But Jason, I was trying to see J. Cam play good. J. Cam actually played pretty doggone good. 22 of 36 for 293 and two touchdowns.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he outdid he had more yards than Campbell. Alex Smith. But I don't think they could get – oh, no. Well, I'll just tell you this. You tell me what's the problem. Who is Cleveland Browns' starting running back? Who would you guess? If you had to guess, who is Cleveland Browns' starting running back?
I know who was their starting running back. I can tell you that.
Who used to be their starting running back?
Trent Richardson.
Yep. They traded Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts, right?
Correct.
Who did they replace Trent Richardson with? Willis McGahee.
Are you serious?
Willis McGahee is starting running back for Trent. This is the same Willis McGahee that 2 weeks prior was unemployed.
Yeah.
Cleveland. J. Cam, I love to see that you got a start. I love to see you got a shot. I hate the death that is with Cleveland.
And you know what? This goes back to what the humanoid was saying. He has, you know, brought this notion to me, and I agree. And either I said it and gave him his props on the show, or maybe he's the one that said it on the show. But it's just something about a bad organization.
It was.
And you sit back and you look like, wow, how come the Patriots always have a good team? How come the Lakers always have a good team? The Celtics and so on and so on. It's because it's not the team. It's the organization.
You got a solid organization.
Built. You know, the Crafts in New England, they run it like a business. I mean, he is the owner of Kraft Foods.
Yes.
I mean, Kraft is everything. It's everywhere. So he runs the New England Patriots. As if it is a Fortune 500 company, which I guess in a sense it is. And it's a profitable and good organization. All that is going to lead to wins.
That's what's equating right now.
Yeah. And the Browns, they're not a good organization.
And that goes to show when they make decisions where no one that has any kind of football knowledge can comprehend what they're even doing.
Yeah.
You know, why would you trade a first round, a number three, number five pick, something like that, 2 years outside of being drafted? Mid-season, nonetheless.
Yeah.
And he was your only offensive weapon. You're starting over again? I mean,
and I'm just thinking, I mean, because J. Cam, oh goodness, boy, I'm shooting mad tonight.
You better get ready to get your dick, brother.
J. Cam, and yes, I'm probably biased. I actually played with him. He has always been a decent quarterback.
He always has.
For whatever reason, when he was in the league, his teams didn't have an offensive line, or if he had, literally, he had a different offensive coordinator.
He was always running for his life.
Yeah. Or the 1 year he was in Oakland, they were like 3-4-0, then he gets hurt. And then for whatever reason, instead of giving him an opportunity to get his job back next year, they go get old Dum-Dum off the couch.
Quarterback number two.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, and bring him in, and don't resign Jay for the next season. Well, okay, so he had some bad luck. So I'm just thinking, the Browns defense is okay. So you have J. Cam coming in, who's a decent quarterback. You still have Trent Richardson, which is your best running back. You know, you might be winning some games. Not saying you're going to go on and just go on this big, huge run, make the playoffs, and turn on something right off into the night.
You got some pieces.
Yeah, you got some pieces to work with.
No. Not when you're the Browns organization. You don't see it like that.
Yeah. Oh, this dude good. I got to get rid of him. See who else I can get.
Oh, man. Let's see how much we can get for him.
Don't work like that way, buddy.
No.
Who owns the doggone Browns?
I don't know. You know what, though? If I'm not mistaken, the owner of the Cleveland Browns is actually under investigation by the FBI.
some
money laundering and some other stuff to where they're actually talking about, and he's coming out and vehemently saying that he will continue to be the owner of the Cleveland Browns, and it seems like other people are saying, yeah, no you won't.
Wow.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think his business is filing for bankruptcy. I mean, his financial business isn't doing well either.
Wow. There you go.
It makes perfect sense.
There you go.
I mean, seriously, man. I think there's some real truth. It is. Jimmy Haslam is his name.
Wow.
He is enthralled in several lawsuits. He's the owner of Pilot Flying Jet gas stations. And it claims that they defrauded several trucking companies. They're being sued by several trucking companies for defrauding them out of fuel rebates. He's under the affidavit for the FBI, and the IRS agents are also investigating them for years engaged in fraud scheme to keep millions of dollars owed to customers as part of the rebate.
Wow.
Yep. Makes perfect sense.
There you go. All that you just read is why they're losing.
That's
and
right.
There it is.
A horrible business owner, it runs a horrible team.
Yes.
All right, so real quick, man, the Patriots knocked off the Dolphins. I'm trying to see, did Gronkowski finally get back on the football field? I was not able to catch that game. Rob Gronkowski got 2 catches for 27 yards. I picked him up. He didn't give me no points. Okay. I thought he was going to just come out and have 400 yards receiving. Tom Brady only had 116 yards passing.
Wow.
But the New England Patriots scored 27 points. Where did those points come from? All right, so they had a decent running game. Defense must have scored some points on that, though. Wow, that's shocking. Tom is really struggling, man, but Tom has no weapons. I think we've talked about that on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
Tom's really struggling for weapons.
He has no weapons, but they're still winning.
They're still winning football games.
And so why can't Matty Ice win games?
That's Tom's a winner. That's why.
Tom is a
$100 million contract. Matty Ice is still unproven.
and you know, Tom is one of those players. He's like, you know what? You don't have to sign me to $1 million. Give me some help.
Yeah, just give me some help. Give me my money to get some players.
Yeah, give me some help. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to try my best to stay off my $100 million soapbox. But the proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding. He can't back down off something that's true.
Hey, what the hell that really means?
The proof
Did
is
you
in
put
the pudding?
Proof in pudding? I ain't never had no pudding with proof in it.
I've never seen no fake pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
Hey, listeners, if y'all know what that old saying right
what
now,
does that
proof
mean?
Is in the pudding, please text us or email us and let us know what the proof is in the pudding.
I've never had a bowl of pudding. You'd be like, you know what?
I need to prove this.
It's some good proof in here.
Yeah, this
proof is delicious proof.
This proof tastes right here. I ain't never had that.
Whoever made them pudding, boy, they know that proof right. They can't do that proof right. Yeah, like, what?
Bowl of pudding.
Okay.
All right, man. And also, the 49ers knocked out the Jacksonville Jaguars. They beat them out like everybody else has beat out the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
They just did it out in Europe, in England. Man, so, Big Drake, as we close out, man, I got to ask you, what's your take? What you think about Dictator Goodell is hell-bent on having a team in London, England? This is the fourth or fifth year that we've played a regular season NFL game in London, and he is still bent on. He said this week that they asked him LA or London. He said both.
Dude, if you pay close attention, this is not only the fourth or fifth year. This year alone is the third or fourth game that has been played
in
London.
That's right. They are trying to make this a regular occurrence. If I was an NFL player, all right, so, all right, well, first of all, take away the fact that you've made it to the league. So you've got no fact that you're a millionaire now, because I'd say I'll play on Mars if you give me $1 million. But take away that. Would you really want to play for a team in London?
I would not, personally. I just don't. And I guess, I mean, I'm not a businessman, obviously. I'm not rich. I'm not a CEO, obviously. But I'm assuming that the reason why they're doing it is the business aspect.
The market.
It's a huge market in London and this and that and that and this and blah, 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 blah. But why, though? I mean, why? I mean, London, I mean, we're not talking about L.A. or another. Well, I mean, we're talking about a different country. And I'm thinking about the cost of everything, the cost to get an NFL team over there, to the logistics in playing games. I mean, they're going to have to play 8 home games, whatever team it is.
That's right. In London.
Yeah. I mean, and as a player, see, As an NFL player, you have to pay state tax in every state you play in.
Yep.
So, I mean, are you going to have to pay international taxes? I mean, I don't.
Or am I going to have to pay extra tax when I come back here? Am I going to pay something different because I have an international income when I play games that when we travel away games that come to the States. Am I going to pay something different?
Yeah, I mean, this is my thing. This is so doggone big and good. How come NFL Europe didn't work out too well?
Exactly. They had an NFL team. They had an NFL league. They had a league. That's all I'm saying. Great point. I ain't even thought about that, Big Drake.
Yeah, an NFL league. Not no Canadian football league. Not this is the European. Nope. This was the NFL Europe.
And I used to watch it because it was good football.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. Didn't work. But Roger Goodell thinks a team will work. The league didn't. Maybe that was too much. Maybe that's what he thinks. That was too much. Don't make sense to me. But again, we're not millionaires, so. Maybe that's something we don't understand.
I don't get it. You know, whatever.
All right, Big Drake, any parting words for our listeners, man?
Peace, War Eagle, keep the faith, Pride 2014.
Pride 2014. Hey, man, I ain't going to leave y'all with much. I'm actually going to play a little track. It's actually not music. It's off of an album from an artist that I'm actually wavering with right now because of after watching this show, Preachers of L.A., I have some issues with him philosophically and how he carries himself. But nonetheless, this track is his grandma on this track. So it ain't him as an artist, it's his grandma. But for some reason, this track has always spoke to me. His grandmother comes on and she's encouraging him as he's down. And so today I'm going to let Grandma Lester be my voice, man, and just want you to know, be encouraged, man, that God has something major in store for you and something phenomenal planned for you, and that no matter what the enemy has shown you, it is not what your future is to be. God has the final say, so let him do what he do, man. This Grandma Lester, man, Dietrich Haddon's grandma, and I hope you enjoy it. To me, again, every time I listen to it, it's just very encouraging, man. Hey, fam, we love being on here. We love talking to you. We missed you last week, but we were back, and we gave you all we had, baby. And guess what? We'll be back next week doing the same thing. Man, tell somebody about the show. Tell them it's some foods on this radio right here. Man, forward it to them. Shoot the link. Email it to them. Text to them. Whatever you need to do. Make sure you get it in somebody's hands today. I'm holding you personally accountable for getting us on the air into as many listeners as possible. We need y'all. So help us out, baby. Shoot it out to somebody else, man. It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drake. Shoot us up. Hit us up. Let us know. Me at kingpin@mademanradio.com. Big Drake at mademanradio.com. Tell us what you think. Something you want to talk about, hit us up and let us know. We'll bring it on the show, man. Hey, thank you for listening. We love being with you. We love being a part of the kingdom. We love being a part of the family. We love you. Two things in the air. Deuces.
Peace.
Man. Hey, Zena.
Hey, Didi. What's up?
Nothing much. Is Grandma around?
Yes, she is. You all right?
I'll be all right. I just want to talk to Grandma.
Okay, hold on a minute. Grandma?
Hello?
Hey, Grandma, it's me.
Hi, Didi. How you doing?
I'm all right. You got a minute?
Yes, you know I always have a minute for you.
It just seemed like just all my friends has been passing away, and death has never been this close to me, Grandma. It's just, I never, and I miss Uncle James, you know. And
yes. Well, I know that's the truth because, you know, I have my moments of thinking about him.
I know.
You know, this is what really encourages us to look up, knowing that we must go on and that we will meet him again.
Yeah.
All our loved ones, you know.
Yeah, but it's hard sometimes, Grandma. I'm just telling the truth. It's just hard, you know, going on after, you know, people you love.
You know, I'm 82 years old now, and I'm not expecting to go nowhere, no time soon, did you?
Yes, ma'am.
You know that you are a man of God, and you are anointed.
I know this, Grandma.
I know that you are chosen by God. So I really thank God for you. God going to bring you through. He's going to take you through. He said, I will never leave you or forsaken you. He said, I will be with you always. So you be encouraged, Deidre. God going to take you on up on the mountain. Praise God. So you be encouraged.
I believe that.
Deidre, if we keep the commandment of the Lord, we will see him after a while.
Grandma, I need a dad. I love you.
I love you, too.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
All right.